are Locked On Giants, your daily San Francisco Giants podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome back to Locked On Giants Baseball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Kaspic, and I am thrilled to be with you again today. On this show, we provide daily episodes Monday through Friday, approximately 15 to 20 minutes in length, talking about the San Francisco Giants in a way that's data-driven and rational, but also simple, passionate, and accessible to all. Coming up on today's show, we're going to do another edition of the Giants Mailbag. Thank you so much to everyone who submitted questions on Twitter. Coming up later today, of course, is Game 6 of the World Series. And so either the Dodgers are going to win it all, or the Tampa Bay Rays are going to force a Game 7. So coming up tomorrow, we're going to be back with reaction to World Series Game 6, whatever the outcome may be. But before we get into today's show doing the mailbag, a little bit about me. I've been a contributor for the baseball analysis sites Beyond the Box Score and FanGraphs as a Rotographs contributor. I started a Giants podcast called CoveCast in 2015 and then joined the Locked On Podcast Network prior to the 2019 season. I'm also a lifelong diehard Giants fan. And so I love these mailbag questions, and we got several more good ones. We have some more left over from the last time we did this, so we're just kind of going to go at them in a random order and get to as many as we can. The first question I want to answer, because I just was doing a bunch of research on it, Pac Bell Partisan asks, is Tyler Anderson really worth going to arbitration with? Somewhere around $3.5 million for a 4.36 FIP and 5.93 XFIP seems inefficient. Could that money be spent elsewhere for more production? What I really like about this question is that it seems to be on a lot of people's minds, and we've seen it written about by numerous writers as they go through their predictions, basically, about what the Giants will do with their roster. And of course, they talk about arbitration, and then they get to Tyler Anderson. And there's a lot of people echoing what you're saying with this question, that is he really worth bringing back considering the production that he had this year? And what I guess I find really interesting about it is that I seem to come in on the side that, yes, he's definitely worth bringing back. Or I shouldn't say definitely. It's not like totally 100% clear that he's worth bringing back, but I think that he is, based on, yes, this year, and also his track record. And so I think he's more than just a guy who put up those two numbers that you mentioned. Although what I wanted to say about the 4.36 FIP is that when park adjusted, that was just 4% worse than average. So in the realm of average. And actually, the National League starting pitcher league average fielding independent pitching was 4.36. So he was exactly league average if you're not park adjusting. And I guess, you know, looking at these numbers, it seems like maybe they're considering Oracle Park to be, you know, not pitcher friendly in their adjustment. So I'd have to look deeper into that, but that's a question for another day. The fact is, the production was roughly average, and actually his earned run average of 4.37 was better than the league average National League starter, which was 4.41. And so, you know, I do think that bringing back someone who figures to be roughly average, I get that the XFIP was significantly higher, but we'll talk about that in a second. If you think he's roughly average, then yes, he's absolutely worth bringing back at around $3 million. I'm also not convinced at all that we're going to see normal arbitration raises. And the Giants under Farhan Zaidi, I'm not sure they've gone to a single arbitration hearing or even come close to it. They've settled with their arbitration-eligible players. They've agreed to a new contract with them at the non-tender deadline, like early December. And so a guy like Tyler Anderson, he probably does not want to go out there and face the free agent market. And so I think the Giants have a real opportunity, and it's very likely that they can probably get him for below that $3.5 million, agreeing to a deal prior to the non-tender deadline. But anyway, just getting to Anderson's numbers really quick, there's several things we could talk about, but I'm going to try to keep it kind of brief. But just some notes, these aren't really statistical analysis at all, but just some notes about him. Only twice did he give up more than four runs in a game, and he pitched in 13 games, 11 starts. He never allowed more than one home run in a single start. And to finish out the year, he went four straight starts allowing zero home runs. So Anderson, you know, even though he had some horrific home run numbers in 2019 when he was, you know, eventually he went down with knee surgery, he was tremendous at preventing home runs in 2020. He had one of the best home run to fly ball ratios among any pitcher in baseball, specifically National League starters. He was fourth. He also had the fourth highest fly ball percentage, so tons of fly balls and very few home runs on those fly balls. He also got a ton of pop-ups, which is basically like getting strikeouts. And then the last factor is just that his numbers are so weird compared to his career numbers. Like, his strikeout rate fell significantly, but he seemed to be healthy, so I might expect a rebound as he gets further away from that knee surgery. And his ground ball rate fell dramatically, like really dramatically. So I wonder how much of that was by design, because it was effective getting fly balls. I wonder if they changed his style in a bigger ballpark than Coors, or if he pitched differently pitching away from Coors. So there's just a lot going on with him. It's not so cut and dry as just looking at a couple of numbers with him. I think there's a lot to dig into. But at the end of the day, I think league average production for like $3 million, you'll absolutely take that in an area of weakness, which is the Giants. They're very uncertain in their starting rotation. So I think they should take all the certainty they can get, especially if they expect league average type production for that cost. Giants fan 2855 asks, should we get Jock Peterson? Now, this is an interesting one. It was brought up by, I think, John Shea in a recent San Francisco Chronicle article, and then written about by MLB Trade Rumors in response to Shea writing that. And I didn't read the John Shea article. Frankly, when I saw that he had written that, I just thought it was like maybe Shea doesn't totally have a grasp on exactly what the Giants' needs are, because their outfield production was really good, and I don't exactly see how another left-handed hitting outfielder who's going to start every day against right-handed pitchers necessarily fits, unless you want to go Dickerson in left, Yastrzemski in center, Peterson in right, or you could flip Dickerson and Peterson, whatever. But that's definitely not their biggest area of need, and it would be a little bit of a strange fit. There are definite benefits, though. I mean, you could always use, he's a quality player, and you could always use more quality players on your team. There is a way to fit him in if you've got Yastrzemski playing center against right-handed pitchers. And the other thing is that he is from the area, and I believe he grew up a Giants fan. He went to Palo Alto High School, Pally, and probably grew up a Giants fan. So if he wants to play for the Giants, is like willing to make it work and willing to work out a deal, I could see that potentially happening. But I just think, given what the Giants' needs are, he's not necessarily the clearest fit. But again, it is possible to fit him if you really want to do it. All right, coming up in the second half of the show, more questions and answers in this edition of the Giants Mailbag. One reason to repair and maintain your cars is to save money that you can then use on more important things like the mortgage or food. Why would you choose to spend 30, 50, 100% more for the exact same auto parts at a chain store or new car dealership? Random example, a fuel pump assembly for a 2005 to 2010 Honda Odyssey costs $353.99 at Advance, which is a big chain store, and $216.79 at rockauto.com. Chain stores have different price tiers for professional mechanics and do-it-yourselfers. RockAuto.com's prices are the same for everybody and are reliably low. Best of all, rockauto.com is a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write "Locked On" in their "How did you hear about us" box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. All right, as promised, here in the second half of the show, just going to continue answering your questions from Twitter in this edition of the Giants mailbag. Lane asks, with how well the Giants outfield played last year, would a left-handed hitting infielder who could play the outfield like Jurickson Profar be a better fit than Peterson? And yeah, I see the logic there, and I totally agree that if you had a left-handed hitter who could play the outfield, yes, that would be a better fit than Peterson. But the issue with Jurickson Profar is that he's a switch hitter who actually is much better against left-handed pitching. So to me, he's kind of a right-handed hitter, actually. So I've seen his name brought up a few times, and I just don't really see the fit there because of the fact that to me, he's like a right-handed hitter. Because if he hits left-handed, you're getting below average production, and that's really not what the Giants are looking for against right-handed pitching. They're really looking for a left-handed hitter who can do well against right-handed pitching. So there aren't that many options that I have seen in terms of guys who can play the infield and the outfield who are above average against right-handed pitchers. Without looking through more names right at this moment, there are a couple of guys I have mentioned all offseason, like for the last month or so. And those guys are D.D. Gregorius and Tommy La Stella. Just naturally on paper, I think those guys probably fit the best in terms of the free agents who are available. The thing about Gregorius is that he probably potentially gets a qualifying offer from the Phillies. And if he gets the qualifying offer, A, I think he may just accept that because of the uncertain financial market right now. And B, if he rejects it, then the Giants have to give up their second round draft pick in order to sign the player. And so I don't see them doing that. I think they'd much rather even pay a little beyond what they want to for someone like La Stella rather than, you know, give up a draft pick to sign a player like Gregorius, who's not a total difference maker. He's just a quality veteran player. So I don't know. Like, I didn't see Wilmer Flores coming. I guess maybe I'm just bad at picking who exactly is a good fit in free agency. But as soon as they signed Flores, I thought it was a great fit. So I'm going to have to look like really closely and really think about each and every player. One more thing I'll say about Peterson is that he may be the same type of fit as last year D.D. Gregorius was, because when Gregorius signed with the Phillies, it came out that he was choosing between one-year deals from a few teams, and those teams included the Giants. And I remember being like surprised that the Giants had offered D.D. Gregorius somewhere in the neighborhood of 1 year and around $15 million, given that they didn't seem to necessarily have room for him in their infield. And so Jock Peterson could be like the same case where we don't necessarily think it's the best fit, but he's a quality player, would be, you know, would make them better. Not necessarily the clearest fit, but still someone they could end up pursuing, especially with the local ties, if he's really interested in playing here, which I don't know that that's true, given that it's a tough place for left-handed hitters to hit. Levo, I don't know if that's a reference to something, so I'm probably saying it wrong, but Levo with three O's asks, any ideas on some viable paths for improving the bullpen? This is a good one because, I mean, the Giants bullpen was so raw and inexperienced this year. They did have a few veterans stabilize things, Harleen Garcia, Tony Watson. But beyond that, I mean, Trevor Gott, who was pretty good in 2019, melted down and probably cost them the season. And some guys really kind of established themselves, in my view, like Caleb Berriger. And I mean, Tyler Rogers was kind of iffy. He's kind of fallen off my list as a premium, like top tier option in terms of for the Giants, like a top option. to really handle high-pressure situations. Reyes Maranta coming back could have a very positive impact, although it's funny because, you know, a lot of people were freaking out when Gabe Kapler went to Sam Coonrod in that key late season situation to close out a game. And one of the reasons people were mad was that Coonrod doesn't have command, and you want to go to someone with command, I guess, in those spots. But if people are dreaming about Maranta being a high-leverage, late-inning guy, they need a reality check, being that Maranta has some of the worst command of anybody on who's going to be on next year's bullpen. Okay, he gets the job done, ultimately, more often than not, and he is a really quality reliever, it seems, but what Maranta can do also is go out there sometimes and just not be able to find the strike zone and potentially walk like three straight guys to start an inning. So I don't think ultimately that's what you want to be relying upon in super important, like close late games when on a whim, he could just completely lose his command. But anyway, having him back will certainly help. There's no doubt about that. I'm just a little bit skeptical about if he's the guy to lock down late close games. But the other thing I want to say is that in 2016, the Giants bullpen melted down in like historic fashion. And then, you know, fast forward a couple of years, and in 2019, three seasons later, the Giants had arguably one of the very best bullpens in all of baseball. So I want to like think about that and think about how did they transition from one of the worst to one of the best, or at least one that was not trustworthy to one that was. And what's funny about that is that someone like Mark Melancon was signed in free agency, but he, you could argue, was actually a net negative to the Giants. I mean, he provided, I guess, some semblance of reliable innings, but he certainly wasn't the guy who made them go from bad to good or untrustworthy to trustworthy. And so I would take a similar approach now, like to anyone thinking they can solve their bullpen problems through free agency, look no further than Mark Melancon and Armando Benitez. I mean, you just typically like buying a closer doesn't work out. And so I don't think this is any different. I think they, with a couple of veterans mixed in here and there, a couple of bounce back candidates mixed in here and there, a couple of minor league signings here and there, that is kind of how you retool, reconfigure your bullpen. And I think that's going to have to be how they do it. I do think they'll have to go out and sign at least one or two veteran relievers who can provide some stability. But beyond that, I think we'll continue to see young guys. We'll see new young guys probably next year. And we'll see some old familiar faces from this year continue to develop, like Caleb Berger, even Sam Coonrod, Tyler Rogers, and the like. The thing is, bullpen, you know, this same group could go out there and be really good next year. It's just, there's so much volatility among bullpen arms. That's just how it's been, and that's how it's going to continue to be. Anyway, that is all the time we have for today. We did not get to as many questions as I would like, but the mailbag is going to be a continuing theme throughout this offseason, which is going to, the offseason is officially going to start this week. So be sure to hit that subscribe button. We're an everyday show Monday through Friday. Come back tomorrow. We'll be talking about Game 6 of the World Series. If you enjoyed this show, please consider rating it in the Apple Podcast Store. Thank you so much for listening. I cannot wait to be with you again tomorrow. And until then, we'll see you next time.